In Romans chapter 8, we left off in verse 11, where it's said that he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. We were talking about the flesh and the law and the Spirit and grace. And now we come to this point in verse 12 where it says, therefore, all these things that we talked about, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Check it out. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. You see, God has called us to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We don't have to live a fleshy life anymore. God says that we can overcome. We are conquerors. As I go through my history books, I love reading about or seeing documentaries about lands that were conquered and the fearlessness that they had as they would just go into an unknown area and take and inhabit it. This area was much like that as the Spaniards came through here many, many years ago. And it's amazing how these people had no fear. Going across the oceans, going across lands, they didn't care. They went to conquer. And the Bible says that you are more than conquerors. Yet we kind of hide back in our spirituality and we just hold it back. We're not bold in our proclamation of Jesus Christ. We're afraid to ask people, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Have you had an encounter with the resurrected Christ? But instead we cower. Some of us are more than cowards, it seems, at times. And we're all guilty of that. But Christ has called us to be more than conquerors. We are conquerors in Christ Jesus. He says, you don't have to live a fleshly life anymore. You don't have to fall prey to all the things that you fall prey to that weaken us and draws down in our spirit. He says, if you do that, he says, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. By the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds. How do I get right with God? How do I put off these things that so easily plague me and I keep falling into? How do I do it, Pastor? What do I do? Walk in the Spirit. We saw that last week. Walk in the Spirit of God. Fill yourself with God and the good things of God. If there's anything good or lovely of good report, dwell on these things. Don't let these things that have plagued us for so many years and the attacks that the enemy has on our minds drag us down into the grave any longer. Walk in the Spirit. Commit yourselves to God. What if I were to tell you Jesus is coming next week? What would you guys do? Would you get all cleaned up on the outside of the cup? Maybe do your hair? Put on a suit? Nice shoes? Haircut maybe? Some of you might shave. I mean, what would you do? Would we be like the Pharisees, cleaning up the cup? You know, practicing our scripture and saying, oh, well, you know, in the book of James it says, you know, and in the book of Ephesians it says, and you go around and you start polishing the outside of the cup and it looks beautiful from the outside and on the inside it's full of dead men bones. Are you polishing your cup today or are you living for Jesus Christ? That's the question that's before you. In all your struggles, do you turn to the Lord every time? Do you say, God, I'm failing you here. Lord, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this. I hate this. But you turn to Him. Are you coming to church to look for answers from me? Or from someone? Or are you going to the one who bore you, the one who died for you, the one who sacrificed his son for you? Are you going to Jesus? Are you going to the Father? Are you empowered by the Holy Spirit? He's given us all the things that we need from glory, from heaven above, to be able to make it through this life. Who are you going to? Don't go to any person or any man or any church or any movement. Go to the one who created you. Go to the one who knew you before you were born in the womb. Go to the Almighty God and Savior of our life, Jesus Christ. Amen? That's who we go to. He knows you're all grubby. He knows I'm full of sin. He knows you fall in one area or another. Go to Him. Run to Him. Though a righteous man will fall seven times, yet he will always get up. Always get up. How many times do you see people in the boxing arena who get knocked down and they get up? And they get up. And sometimes even the ref wants to stop the fight and they say, no, no, I want to keep on. They're not out until they're out. And neither are you. Don't let the enemy hold you back because you're a sinner. That's who Jesus came for, is sinners. That's who Jesus came for, to love. and sacrifice his life for. If you live by the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of the body and you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. If you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If then children, or then heirs, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. You see, Jesus suffered. And you guys suffer. Some of it's self-inflicted. We know that. But some of it is just suffering that comes down the road. But if we suffer with Christ, because you're a Christian, guess what? You'll also be glorified together. God was glorified in Jesus Christ, and Jesus was glorified as He sits at the right hand of the Father, and He was resurrected into glory. And so you will as well. Jesus is coming. Here He comes. What are you going to do? Are you going to start using all this knowledge that you have? Most of you here know so much about the Lord. You know enough to go out and preach the Word of God. But yet, we're too busy shining up the cup, making the cup look good outside so that people will see it. And we're not living it inside. That's what God has called us, to a walk with Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 5. As we get into something that's a little bit deeper, we see in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5, when we're more than conquerors, we're led by the Spirit, we're sons of God, we cry out, Abba, Father, and now Jesus the Son, we're going to look at Him in Hebrews, how He learned obedience through suffering. Check this out. So also Christ did not glorify Himself to become high priest, but it was He who said to Him, You are my son. Today I have begotten you. He also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in those days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Though he was a son, the Son of God, he came down here specifically to suffer on our account, to show that he knows the sufferings that you and I go through on a daily basis. And then he took it a step further, and he suffered for unrighteousness, which was not in him, on our account, so that we may have glory with Him in heaven someday. Though He was a son, yet He learned. Notice, Jesus learned something here? It's an amazing verse. Though He, Jesus, was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. He knows what you feel like when you fall. He knows He didn't fall, but He knew temptation as we know temptation, without sin. He knows what it's like to be tempted, even as we are today. He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. Why do we suffer? God, help me out of this suffering. Woe's me. I can't believe I'm doing this again. God, why is that person doing that? Why did that happen? Why should I do all these whys that bring suffering into our life? They're so we can learn. So we can learn obedience to Christ. Every time we allow something into our life that causes us suffering, it's so that we can learn. Don't do that again. Every time that suffering comes our way, even when we're not looking for it, it's so that you can run to the Lord. And though anything, your situation you're in, He's there with you, helping you to learn obedience. And it pleases the Lord to allow suffering in our lives so that we can learn obedience. He knows it's hard. He knows it hurts you, but He's allowing it to draw closer to Him. It's all about Him. It's not about you. I'm sorry to say. It's not about us. It's about Him. It says, though He was a son, He too suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Notice, you have eternal salvation if you obey Him. Called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Lord, unstop our ears, for we become dull of hearing. We're too busy polishing the cup to hear from God. We're too busy polishing the cup to make our walk right with Christ. We become dull in our hearing. How many of you heard from God this morning before coming to church? How many of you got on your knees and said, Jesus, fill me. Church is happening. I want to go and I want to be a blessing to somebody. I want to be filled with your Spirit, Lord God, so that I can be anointed for your work, so I can touch somebody and reach someone, giving them a word of encouragement. Something, God, speak to me. Or have we become dull in our hearing? For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Pastor, feed me. Can you imagine what you guys would look like if I would have to go to your house and feed you every day? Man, we'd be a lot thinner because I wouldn't be able to make it there every day to your house. We'd be a lot weaker because I wouldn't be able to make it there every day to your house, and your nourishment would be going down. And you'd be waiting there, Pastor, feed me. Pastor, care for me. Pastor, somebody, God, send somebody. I did. His name is Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your life. Go to Him. Why do you want to feed more? It grieves me when I hear Christians say, oh, I don't like going over there because I don't get fed. I don't get fed there. I need to get fed. Can you flip those pages of manna from heaven and feed yourself? The Bible says, for at this time you ought to be teachers, yet you need someone again to teach you the first principles of the oracles of God. It's a blessing when you come to church and God speaks through the pastor and it reaches an area of your life that you thought, how did he know? It was God. But you need to feed yourself. Don't wait just till Sunday. Feed yourselves. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You see, you can memorize all the scriptures. You can know the addresses, verse per verse, by chapter by verse, and back again. Notice what it says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Reason of youth. Those of you who putting it into practice, who are laying down your flesh, picking up your cross and saying, I'm going to march on. By reason of youth, I'm going to call this person and see how they're doing. I understand this person is hurting. I'm going to call that person. I'm going to take a meal to someone who I know is less fortunate than me. I'm going to reach out and I'm going to give my next check to somebody who needs it. I'm going to pay my tithe to some church somewhere, if you will. I'm going to give it to God. Everything that I have a car. I'm going to give someone a ride. I'm going to put it into use. How many of us are so busy getting fed? So many of us, how busy are we shining up the cup and we look great? Look at all at me. Look at all I know. But yet we're not putting it into practice. When hard times come, we run to not the one that made us. I've heard a saying, do you run to the throne or do you run to the phone? Who are you running to today? I hope it's Jesus. I hope that you've made a purpose in your heart at some point to run to Jesus. And you know that He knows you intimately and He's going to minister to you appropriately. Whether it's a rebuke, whether it's a spanking, whether it's encouragement, whether it's love, whether it's grace, mercy, you know that whatever He hands down, it's a gift from Him to help us grow through our suffering that we suffer. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, who know the word. That is, those who by reason of use, they put it into practice, and they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And you know what? If you're not that, if you at this point say, you know what, I don't care if Jesus is coming next Sunday, I'm still going to live the life that I live. I'm still going to be in the flesh. I'm still going to hang on to my pains and my hurts and my suffering. I'm going to hold on to these because that's who I am. Notice that you can mess with Jesus for a while. But at some point, know this, we're speaking to those who are of full age. Know this, at some point, you can go too far. Chapter 6 of Hebrews, verse 1 says, "Therefore, because of all that we just read, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, that which He's called us to do through suffering. Not laying again the foundation of repentance, we know we need to repent, from dead works and faith toward God, or the doctrine of baptism, we know we should be baptized, of the laying on of hands, we know we should pray for one another by the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, we know that is something to happen because Jesus was our first fruits, the first to rise from the dead, of eternal judgment, we know that there's an eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permits." Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord God, right now by the power of Your Spirit, that You would fill this place and that You would allow us to go on, Lord God, leaving these discussions of the elementary principles of faith. Help us to move on to perfection, in Jesus' name. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, who know God, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit." It seems this person is born again, Spirit-filled, with the Holy Spirit, moving in unison with the body of Christ. "It is impossible for a person like this, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame." What does that mean? Fall away. It's a word, parapito. It means, in the Greek, it means falling from adherence to the realities and the facts of the faith. Let me say it again. It means to fall away from the adherence or the understanding of the realities and the facts of faith, the Word of God. Starting to renege against the Word of God. Starting to come against the Word of God. Starting to say, that's not what the Word is. This is what the Word is. That's not what salvation is. That's not what God says. This is what God says. And it's a lie. It's winds of doctrine blowing through the minds, if you will, of these who have fallen away. It means willfully walking away from these realities. But there's the Bible, and I still kind of, you know, but, ah, my flesh likes this doctrine better. I'm going to hold on to this fleshy doctrine. That one's too hard. If a person walks away from the Lord in that sense, there is a line somewhere where it's too late. Why? Because they persecute once again for themselves the Son of God, and they put Him to open shame. That's what happens to us when we pull away from the Lord, when we pull away from His Word and what the truth of His Word is. We're parapito. It's impossible for them to come back. Isn't that hard to understand? But God is full of grace and mercy. Yes, but you have a free will. Be careful, Christian. Don't listen to winds of doctrine that show such an easier life. Stick hard and true to the Word of God. And have eternal life. Don't take a chance on that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, just to back up Scripture with Scripture. Having this in mind that we just said, you know, don't pull away from the Lord, stay true to His Word, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, you guys know the story of Esau, who for one morsel of food he sold his birthright. He sold his birthright. You have a birthright in Jesus Christ, but because of the hardness of our hearts, we pull away. We're parapito. We fall away by our own design into the winds of doctrine that blow our way. Don't be a profane person like Esau, he says, who sold his birthright to satisfy what? His flesh. He wanted that pottage or that soup or stew, if you will, from his brother. He was the firstborn. He was the one who was going to inherit the blessings of God. And he says, you know what? I want to feed my flesh, man. Give me some of that soup. Jacob obliged him. You see, there's always someone in the world who will oblige you. Oh, you want to sell your birthright? Okay. Here, take it. What does your flesh crave? Esau, it was soup. What do you crave? Don't sell your birthright for that. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. He realized, oh my God, I sold my birthright. I'm parapito. I walked away from the Lord. And I blasphemed His name. I put Him up to open shame again. I did that. Lord, help me. Help me, God. Help me, God. And He wipes the tears and He sought it. He wanted that back. But you know what? It wasn't there. It was gone. It was too late. You see, there's a line, Christians, that we can cross if we continue to feed our flesh, that God says, it's of your own will. He sought it diligently for years. He sought it, but it was not to be found. It had been given to one who wanted it, who valued the things of God, Jacob, the deceiver, the least likely. And that's what will happen to us if we don't stay firm in the Word of God. Let us turn back to Romans chapter 8. In verse 18 it says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You're suffering, you know. What is that compared to eternity with God? Suffer through it. Bear with it. Bear down. "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to the futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because of the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope is that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for that which he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see," speaking of eternal salvation in Christ, "we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness." That word Spirit, it means Christ's Spirit. It's a breath of fresh air blowing across. Keep that in mind. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit," same word, "help Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You see, the Spirit is this like breath of fresh air, which is, by the way, Christ blowing across, and you just need to breathe it in. There's times where you might want to go to prayer and you say, "God, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to pray. God, what do I do?" Just breathe me in. Just breathe me in. My Spirit knows your weakness. My Spirit knows how to make intercession for you. He knows the groanings which you can't utter. You just, "I don't know, God. I just need to be on my knees. That's all I know." He knows. And it's that Spirit that'll make intercession for you at that time. "Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." He makes intercession for you. God makes intercession for you. When you can't pray anymore, how many of you ever been suffering so that you can't pray? You just fall on your knees and on your face before God. And it's as if every ounce of strength has been drawn out of you, whether because of consequences of your sin or suffering that's come your way. And you just lay there at the foot of Jesus. And the Spirit makes intercession. Oh, praise God. And at some point, you're able just to stand. You get up and you stand. And a peace comes over you. And you know that you've been in the very throne room of God. The Bible says that every scripture is breathed, written by God, and it was breathed into man. And you can feel that breath upon your face as He's revived you and He strengthens you and you're able to walk yet one more day. That's our Lord. That's the Spirit, the Comforter whom He sent to us, who makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It is God's will to stand in the gap for you, to be in place of all that you have. And when we know that all things work together for good, and do you know that? Do you know that all things work together for good in your life right now? Even the suffering, because it builds perseverance, because it builds you up. And we learn obedience. Everything, I know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined. He knew if you would walk away from the Lord, or if you will. He knows if you're going to stand fast. And because of that, you're predestined for salvation, because He knows your heart. Give your heart to Jesus wholly and walk away from the flesh, is what He's saying. He knew and predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. He sees that these things in your life are molding you and shaping you into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ, who's with Him at the right hand, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, He whom predestined you, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. You're justified if you're in Christ. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Those who have passed away, who steadfastly followed God. For let any man who is tempted not blame it on God. Take responsibility for it yourselves, the Bible says, and you'll be glorified. These who have passed away before us, they're glorified. They held fast. They held true. They didn't waver to winds of doctrines. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who do you know now? Is it Iraq? Is it Iran? What is it? Is it the gas crisis? Is a lack of food? Is it a physical illness? What can separate you from God? If God is for us, who can be against us? Can the enemy, who has so much power and dominion over this world, can he separate you from God? No. What is it then? You're the only one who can. We're the only ones who can separate ourselves from God, as we saw in Hebrews chapter 6. We're the only ones. Don't be the one. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who? The enemy himself, though he's up there accusing day and night against you and me, we're in Christ. As the enemy comes against you, look at Pete, he's this and that, and everything else. Yeah, but he's in Christ. What are you going to do? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. There it is. There he is, day and night. The accuser is there, but Christ is there. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Troubles in your life? Distress, maybe. Yeah, that's what it'll be. Or persecutions or famine? I mean, who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation only builds us and gets us stronger, we see in the Word. Distress only builds us and gets us stronger, we see. Persecution, it's going to strengthen us in our walk with Christ. More determined. Famine, that only weakens our body. Our spirit grows. How many of you have fasted for days? Your body gets weak and your spirit just seems to soar. Famine can't do it. Nakedness. He shall clothe you with robes of righteousness, the Bible says. Peril, maybe the sword. Somebody will kill you. Is that going to separate you from Christ? Praise God, that'll just get you there quicker. That's our God. What the enemy intends to do to us for evil, he turns around for good. For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We know that we're going to suffer. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded, and as should we all, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, and He's speaking of demonic realm, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. You see, every created thing is subject to God, including Satan. and his followers, or any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God, because he has made every provisions in your life and in my life so that there is no excuse for us to be parapito, outside the house of God. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a blessed week.